Hey, let's go back to Cincinnati. We love seeing this guy. We love talking to him every weekend. And that is Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how are you?
Marty, excellent today. How are you?
Very good, very good. Glad to be here today. And first of all, do you realize in your lifetime this is the first time the Giants have ever come back from 8 runs down to win the game?
It's just incredible. I mean, it's only happened 5 times in franchise history, and that dates back 137 years. They only did it once when they were the New York Giants, and now this was the 4th time as the San Francisco Giants, and you really never see a game quite like the one we saw last night.
So what do you think? Well, sitting there watching it, and you're as much of a baseball fan, your family is as well, Nancy Hayden Crowley and FX, and you guys love the game, you know that. But what do you think sitting there watching it?
I mean, I don't think I ever gave them a shot, really. Even in the 9th inning when Raisel Iglesias came on the mound, and you saw some of the Giants' hotter hitters coming up, Steven Duggar, who had his second straight 3-hit game, you thought he might be able to get something going. That didn't happen. Steven Vogt comes to the plate, and the entire stadium in Cincinnati thinks the Reds are going to hang on, and all of a sudden, Vogt just silenced the crowd. And we were stunned. We were almost laughing in the press box, because when you consider that 8-run comebacks are so improbable, and then you consider that it was this Giants offense that pulled it off, I mean, jaws were dropped.
You mean Alex was laughing?
Alex did not make the trip out here Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, he wouldn't be laughing. We know that. But I tease Alex. Alex Pavlovich, of course, from NBC Bay Area. Well, Beattie, what was your take on Beattie?
You know, I actually thought that he threw a little better than his line would indicate. He still made far too many mistakes. But, Marty, this is a completely different pitcher than the one that we saw last year when he first came up with the Giants, when he really had very little hope of finding the strike zone on some days. And he was moved to the bullpen in Sacramento at the end of last summer. And we thought his days as a prospect might be over. But yesterday he was just in the strike zone too much. He had he was, you know, pumping 96, 97 on the outside corner at times, made Joey Votto look bad in the first inning, but he hung the 3-2 changeup to Dietrich. That really unsettled him. And after that point, I think that he just broke down and threw too many strikes as he was trying to overcompensate a little bit. And we saw him off his game, but you know what? We will see Tyler Beattie again this season in the Giants uniform. I'm confident of that.
Yeah, significantly different than last year, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, they're two different pitchers, the Tyler Beattie of last year and the Tyler Beattie of this year. And the Giants would much rather have this version, even with last night's results.
Yeah, no, I agree. So it's interesting just to watch Joey Votto. What about Joey Votto? What happened to him?
Second time in his career that he went 0-for-7 with 3 strikeouts. It had only been done once before, first in 6 years for Joey Votto. And you just saw someone that the Giants pitching staff clearly had a plan for. They handled him right out of the gate. Even Beattie looked good against Votto. And every reliever seemed to go up there and attack. And one of the things that I noticed is they were throwing high strikes to him. They were attacking him up in the zone with fastballs. And those are pitches that he's had success on in previous years. But maybe, you know, at 35, he might be starting to slow down a little bit. Maybe the bat speed isn't quite what it once was, and the Giants clearly had a scouting report on him.
Yep, very well said. Very well said. I remember Ichiro. The only way to pitch to him, and there weren't many, was up and away, hard up and away, and that's what Votto got last night, and he swung through it. Which brings me to Crawford. Crawford, of course, we know he slowed down a little bit. Andy Bagley of The Athletic did a big article on it. But the fielding is just not – every night there's something. And also, it made me think about the way people pitch him up and away, and he's not catching up with it. Is there a concern about Crawford?
Oh, I think there's definitely a concern within the organization, and I think that Farhan Zaidi is probably currently wondering how much longer he'll be able to run Brandon Crawford out there at shortstop. I mean, is he going to be the starting shortstop through the end of that big contract that he signed on to? And so far through the month of April, we just haven't seen the same Brandon Crawford that you saw in previous years, especially, you know, you can understand the struggles at the plate during the first month of the season, but we haven't seen the same Brandon Crawford on defense. And I think, you know, you might to see that mentality change, you know, once he gets a little more comfortable, makes a few more difficult plays. But right now, he's not making the easy plays, including one last night where the infield was drawn in, ball hit right to him. He knew he had a play at the plate, and he just booted the ball. And that's not the Brandon Crawford anyone's ever been accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, they've got to get him going. That is the one guy you say you want to see him get going. Now it brings us to the guy who is now on the list with Willie McCovey and Ramon Martinez, and believe it or not, Franny. And that is three hits and a debut as a Giant, and that is Stephen Vogt. How about that?
My goodness, Marty. And, you know, baseball is what it is because of stars like Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner. But fans love the game because of players like Stephen Vogt and the story that we saw unfold last night. What a special night for Vogt to come all the way back from shoulder surgery, to have to sign a minor league contract with the Giants, to not really even be able to catch during spring training because he wasn't completely healthy, and then to come up and play for the team that he dreamed of playing for throughout his childhood, the Visalia, California native, and to have the game that he did. I mean, that is, you know, he said it was a dream. It was a storybook night for Stephen Vogt, and all of his teammates loved it. I mean, you can tell that the clubhouse just embraced him from the day that he stepped foot in it down in Scottsdale during spring training.
He's a leader. He's an all-star. He's a walk-off hit guy. Yeah, he did it with the A's. And as Raf said when I walked in, he said, "Stephen Vogt, you've got my vote." That's
well,
funny.
You know, it was really cool to see because so often you see the same regulars the Giants trot out there that they have since really the early 2010s during the glory years, and so many of them have struggled. But when you mix in someone with the personality and the emotional pull that Stephen Vogt already has with this fan base, because so many people watched him during his career with the A's, they understood how Oakland fans came to adore him, and then to know that Vogt has always wanted to wear the orange and black and to have the debut that he had last night, I mean, that's a night that I don't think many people who were here will ever forget. If they're Giants fans, if they were in that clubhouse, and for those of us covering the game, I mean, really, those are the stories that you want to tell. It's the Stephen Vogts of the world that you're in this for.
Remember I did those little videos, those two-minute videos in spring training?
Of course, and Vogt had the best one.
Exactly. Other than you, I think Vogt had – I think he was the leader and you were second. I think that's what happened, if I'm not mistaken. Kerry Crowley is with us. Kerry, what do you do with Vogt? How do the Giants use him now?
Well, I mean, I think primarily he'll be the backup catcher and play, you know, once every few days. But something you can do is Stephen Vogt can play first base, or Stephen Vogt can run out to left field and give you another left-handed bat against a tough right-hander. So, you know, if you want to move Buster Posey to first a little more often this season, you might be able to do it. But I think that you can get him in this lineup by putting him over at first base or moving Brandon Belt out to left field and just giving you a little bit more pop, because that bat plays. And for so much of his career, he's been a catcher, and we may not have seen the best offense of Stephen Vogt. If the Giants can free him up a little bit and move him around positionally, maybe we'll see the bat play a little more than we expect.
Farhan is just warming up. You know that?
Yes, he is.
He's
just
warming up this week. You're going to see he lives for this kind of stuff. Seriously, to juggle the roster and get guys on, get guys off. This is what he's here to do. And I think he's just warming up. I tell you that honestly.
Absolutely. And, you know, we saw Mike Gerber come up yesterday. We saw Tyler Beede make the start. Beede will be back at some point. Gerber looked great in his debut. 1-for-3, drew the walk, hit the ball hard twice. He looks like someone who could really take that left field job and run with it. And we'll see how the Giants fare on this road trip with Gerber, because he does have minor league options. He has that flexibility. So he can go down if someone down at AAA gets hot. But in talking to Bruce Bochy yesterday, Gerber would have been on this team on opening day if he was a right-handed hitter. They had to go out and look at Michael Reed and look at Connor Joe because they didn't have Kevin Pillar here yet. But Mike Gerber is a guy who swung a hot bat throughout Cactus League play, and he carried that over into AAA, and the Giants are really excited to see what he can do, because up until last season, he was a big deal in the Detroit Tigers organization.
You know, I remember when he got buzzed? And then he stood up in the next at bat and drilled one into right center field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It opened everyone's eyes. You know what I told him? I don't proclaim to know anything, but I said when he was on the show, we'll have a little bit of the interview from spring training. I said, just throw out last year. If you don't look at last year, as you just said it, he was one of the top prospects in the Tiger organization last year, 4-for-42 when they brought him up. Throw that out. I don't know if you can. But he has a good minor league pedigree.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he at one point was the number 7 prospect in the Tigers system, and they gave up on him pretty quickly after just one season. And that's not an organization that could really afford to do that. So it was curious, and the Giants snuck him through waivers when they signed Drew Pomeranz. He's still around, and he made a name for himself in spring training. He caught everyone's eye, and the plan really was for Farhan and Bochy to evaluate him at the major league level at some point. If he could go down to AAA and prove that he could continue that hot bat that he showed, and it only took him a month to get back here, so the Giants are really excited about his potential.
Belmont, is that his college? I forget.
He's Creighton.
He's one of the Creighton guys. Okay.
Yeah, along with Ty Block and Pap and Diddy.
Yeah, Ferguson was Belmont. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Derek Rodriguez. I said it before you came on, his last three, 8 walks, 13 strikeouts, batting average against .278. What's going on with Derek Rodriguez?
You know, the command in the zone just hasn't been as sharp, and the Cincinnati Reds proved yesterday, despite having one of the least productive offenses in the league to date, if you throw fastballs in the strike zone, and they're going to hit them. And, you know, Derek Rodriguez has had that issue in the last few starts. We saw it against the Yankees last weekend, and now he's got to face a Reds team that is a good mistake-hitting team. You've got guys like Dietrich. You've got guys like Puig who can go up there and pound strikes. And so we'll see what Derek Rodriguez can do in a bounce-back scenario. He's been good in these situations in the past, Marty, albeit limited experience when bouncing back from rough outings. So I'm really excited to see what he brings today, because we could learn a lot about him, and if this little struggle continues, maybe the Giants look at him in a different role eventually.
Yeah, could be. You know, it's funny. I was asked this Thursday when I was on with Gary and Larry about Bochy. I said, "Is he having fun?" And my answer was, and I want to get your answer to that. He's a major league manager. When the game starts, that's what he does. That's what he does for a living, just like what you do for a living, Raf and me, or whoever. And last night for him, he had fun because the team came back and gave him a thrill. But do you think he's having fun this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that Bruce Bochy has never been one to get extraordinarily caught up in the results. I think that, you know, he takes every day, as cliche as it is, he does take every day, day by day, and he sets the tone for the clubhouse with that. And so when they do suffer through a tough loss, which last night could have been, they're able to flush it out and get it out because of Bochy's mentality that he comes to the park with every day. But when they put together a win like they do last night, he's going to be the one to go in there and really try and get everyone to build off of that. And I think that is fun for him to manage on a day-to-day basis and go with the ups and downs and ride the roller coaster of the season. He's always loved that.
Yep, that's what he does. That's what he does for a living. Last one, Duggar. Boy, he scored a tough run last night. Whoa, brought him in. And you got to do that when you're not scoring a lot of runs. But Duggar had a night.
Yeah, back-to-back three-hit games for Steven Duggar after having exactly 0 three-hit games in his career before Wednesday. He made quite a big adjustment at the plate. He's hitting the ball up the middle right now. He's seeing extremely well, and he's making harder contact. And really, his best hit of the night last night was a sacrifice fly that Nick Senzel robbed in center field. It would have been extra bases. But the Giants could have sent him down yesterday. They could have kept Gerardo Parra on the roster, designated someone else for assignment, and sent Steven Duggar down to AAA, and they didn't. And to me, that's an indication that they have a lot of confidence in his ability to make adjustments and turn things around, and they want to continue this audition in right field that's been ongoing for 32 games now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Roark. He gets hit a lot, so Duggar could have a big day today. This could be a good day for him. Lefties against Tanner Roark hitting .419. So I predict Boat's in the lineup somewhere. They'll get him in
over
somewhere.
A first base belt out in left field. Start it with Duggar and Gerber at the top of the order. Is that what you think?
Yep. And sit Pilar down and put Gerber out in center field. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud. But, hey, great to have you back with us and on Twitter at KO_Crowley. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Kerry. Thank you.
Looking forward to it, Marty.
All right. That is the great Kerry Crowley. More coming up right after this.